Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
All right, folks, listen up. You know that you're busy with all the holiday stuff, but you got to keep this in mind. Right now is a great time to buy a house or refinance. Now, knowing that, that is the easy part. The hard part is that you don't know what you're doing, and that's okay. You just need to find the experts that have your best interest in mind. Cornerstone First Financial will be able to help you get through the finance process quickly and easily. Because they understand. Listen, the Fed met this month, and we were right. We've been telling you this all along. Higher interest rates are coming soon. That means you're going to be paying more on your car loans, your credit cards, anything you finance, especially your mortgage. So you got to lock in your rate as soon as possible. Cornerstone First Financial can make that happen, but you got to act now. Do it right now. Days matter. So make the call. Whether you're buying or refinancing, Cornerstone First Financial understands that it's your money on the line, and they will take care of you. Now, trust us. They are our neighbors, and they are good people. They even like Oscar. I don't know how they do that. I don't understand finance, but I truly don't understand how they like Oscar. So click their banner on our website or call Cornerstone First Financial at 202-625-1221. Mention the Mike O'Mara Show and get a free appraisal at closing. That's Cornerstone First Financial /TMOS or 202-625-1221. Personal attention from application to closing. That's Cornerstone First Financial. Licensed in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, and Florida. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year from everybody at Cornerstone First Financial.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeOMaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oscar, we don't often get political on the show.
Oh, but there is something, I hate it when we get political.
But there's something going on now that we really need to mention. Have you heard about this Nevada rancher, Cliven Bundy?
Actually, this is the fun type of political. Yes.
He was going up against the government. Fighting the man. Yes, because he's a rancher and he didn't want to pay ranching fees. So the conservatives got behind him, and then he comes out and he makes a lot of statements that are far from appropriate. Here to comment is, and I don't even know what side this guy comes in on, the 62nd governor of the great state of Mississippi. Say hello to Haley Barbour.
Hey, de Bulbadee.
Are you okay?
Mr. Barbour.
Governor?
Sorry,
Governor.
Rob, Oscar, and Pony Boy. I love that name, by the way. I was given a pony back in Mississippi.
As a young boy,
I had a pony, and we named it was an all-white pony.
Really?
We named him Cotton. I rode my pony Cotton for days and days all over my yard. Of course, my yard was 2,500 acres of Mississippi farmland. But that goes without saying, I loved Cotton. I love that pony. So I do like your nicknames. You're a very talented young man, and I always enjoy coming by the show.
How is your health?
I'm slowing down in my old age, but
still active.
I'm still extremely active. Yeah. I'm not the governor no more, but I will tell you that I pay attention. I pay attention to politics, and I like to know what's going on. And I like to speak up. You see,
I understand
when I see any kind of an injustice situation.
It's just I sometimes get worried. Sometimes it looks like you're racing to finish a thought. And you don't quite get there.
Oh, that's not true, did Betty. I would tell you that I don't race anything. I have a slow lifestyle. We Southerners, you should understand this, Rob. We Southerners, you've been as far south as Richmond.
Of course.
I know that you spent some time there. I just I take some time to get to my point, and if I don't have the words, somebody makes fun of me occasionally, that I will just say, de-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba.
Oh, interesting.
You know who has a lot of words?
Who's that?
Is a 67-year-old Nevada rancher, Cliven Bundy.
Ah, there is the fly in the molasses, if you will.
Yeah.
Now that is the singular reason I am here, because I feel it's necessary while the entire liberal elite is piling on this poor rancher, that all he is trying to do,
right?
You see, is trying to raise his cattle and not be infringed upon by the United States government, and then he makes a couple of casual comments, a time gone by, comments that, in my humble opinion, were not entirely controversial, now, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, have you actually heard the comments?
I know there are spineless politicians out there that are trying to distance themselves from Mr. Clive and Bundy, but I will tell you, I do not fall into that category, Eddie Bobby.
Are you a supporter?
A supporter is a strong word, Rob. He's not running for office.
All right, do you condone his words?
Condone? I'm not going to distance myself from what one man says. It is the founding fathers' principle that a man can express his views any way he sees fit.
Governor, which words do you actually condone?
Yeah, would you like me to read a quote, Governor?
Yeah, that Oscar speaking to me?
Yes.
I know you don't normally. He's not your
Buenos tardes.
Oh God.
Buenos tardes to you, young man.
Remember, Governor, we talked about this bit. It doesn't work.
Oh,
it actually sounds racist.
Yeah, when you do it, it really does.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. Let me simply say, Feliz Navidad.
No, it's no good either.
Now it's holy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Anyway, I would. Can I just make a comment here?
Please.
Sure.
This young man that's speaking to me now,
Oscar,
speaks absolutely beautiful English. Absolutely.
Well,
surprisingly well spoken, Governor.
Absolutely fine English.
Thank you.
The fact that his ancestors came from Paraguay and a long time ago,
Bolivia.
Or one of those South American countries like Fiji.
It's Fiji.
Yes, but I'm here to answer your question as well, young man. I will not make any. I will not answer it differently.
Appreciate
I will address
that.
You head on, because I believe in that all people make up this great country of ours.
Now, do you think that Oscar's people have had a fair shake of it in our fair land?
A fair shake. We might as well just put a big giant welcome sign down there for where they're all streaming in on a daily basis.
Bienvenidos.
Bienvenue. That's right. Well, you don't want to say goodbye to them. You want to say welcome. Okay, mumbo jumbo. Doesn't matter to me. Rob Spiewak.
Yes,
I believe when they cross that border that they should have a complete grasp of the English language.
Like Oscar.
As soon as right out of the truck. Total fluency in the English language, but I'm here to answer this young man's question.
All right, Oscar.
Yes, please. I guess the story itself. When I heard that you were commenting, I was a little shocked.
Yes.
And then I was curious because there really is no way to defend this gentleman, I don't think.
You're listening to the wrong people again, Oscar Santana. I tell you that. No way to defend him. My God, he is the representation. He is the personification. He is the example of freedom in America, is what he is.
Governor Barber, even Fox News.
And then, hold on a second. I got to ask a guy back. Ain't that right, Hank?
Obama.
There you are.
Oh, is he
yes,
there
sir,
with you? Is he?
He's in the back. No, I just keep that handy. I got one of those little whoopee cushions, one of those electronic things.
Hank Williams Jr. whoopee cushion.
Oh, absolutely. I keep it with me at all times. Ask me any question about anything in the world politics, anything whatsoever.
All right, who can we blame the situation in Crimea on?
Play the button.
Obama.
There you go.
Why can't I get health care?
Obama.
There it is right there, boy. That's fantastic.
Who's our sexiest president?
Okay. No, sir. You're not going to get me to fall into that trap.
There you go.
But anyway, if I can be serious for a second.
Yeah, it's about
time. This good, decent, poor, poor man who's simply trying to provide Americans with the beef they crave.
Right.
And I know that I eat beef 6 times a week. I have a steak or roast beef, or I have a pot roast that Mrs. Barber puts together with lovely baby peas and carrots.
How is your wife Harper?
Barbara.
I know she's
fantastic.
Not your first wife. She's not your first wife.
No, she's my eighth. She is my eighth wife, and she is doing fine.
She makes
truly fine.
Makes
Harper
her
Barber.
Signature ribeye for you.
Yes, and our daughters, Lily and Gwendolyn. Yes, they look so great on Easter Sunday, Rob. They have the gigantic dresses. They had their huge puffy skirts. Well, I haven't seen girls that lovely since the porch scene in Django Unchained.
Wow.
Yes, sir. Nice. It was fantastic.
Oh, it's fabulous. Nice. You know
what? Nice.
Are you still a family that puts a lot of pride in Easter bonnets?
Oh, my goodness gracious. We, you know, I sing. I'll bring out the barber ukulele. And my daughters and my lovely bride will come down the giant circular stairway.
Harper, right?
Harper Barber. And she will come down the stairway, and I'll say, your Easter bonnet. But anyway, I digress. Stop picking on this poor man, Cliven Bundy.
Cliven.
He's a good... What?
Cliven Bundy.
Cliven Bundy. Cliven Bundy with the cloven hooves. That's what the liberal media wants me to think.
So what you're saying is the way we should treat him, the way we should treat Cliven Bundy, we should treat him nice.
Nice. Absolutely. Nice. And I've spoken too long, and I seem to have gotten myself a bit upset.
Oh, dear.
And when that happens, unfortunately, most of us barbers, it manifests itself in a bit of distress in the lower extremities, if you know what I mean.
I don't follow you.
That means that I have to take a shit.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Play Margaritaville.
Excuse me?
Play Margaritaville. I love that song.
Darling, I think you're referring to my song Pina Colada Berg.
No, Margaritaville.
I think you mean Pina Colada Berg. The song I wrote 7.5 f***ing years before Margaritaville was even on the map. Of course, you wouldn't know that because... you weren't even born yet.
Come on, Hawkshaw, let's get us a drink.
I don't need to
Come on, man.
That guy, son of a bitch. Mother.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and now, the best of O'Mara.
When last we spoke, I had the box truck, 22 feet.
Yes.
Was doing okay with it, you know, actually enjoying it. It's the newness, driving a truck. Haven't driven a truck in a long, long time. Last big rig I probably drove was a school bus when I was 18 years old.
Well, no, you drove the RV when we went to Iowa. That
was
counts.
That officially was the last
that
big
counts.
Vehicle. Sort of, yeah, big thing to drive. And so... The movers arrive, and they're going through all the stuff, and probably not 15, 20 minutes into it, one of the guys comes up to Carl and says, it's not going to fit.
He said,
oh, no.
Excuse me, madam, these boxes will not fit in our truck.
No, it really didn't sound like that.
Con permiso.
No, it didn't
Los
even sound like that.
No van a entrar en el camión.
No. It might have sounded something like this. You ain't fitting nothing on that truck.
Oh, dear. Yeah. You should have gone to the 24.
Let's just say, a cause for stress. Now, here's how I did my moving. We boxed everything up. We rented the truck. Mm-hmm. And then we paid guys on one end and paid guys on the other end.
Yeah, that's called smuggling or trafficking.
Or it's also called prostitution, depending on how you're paying them for the end.
No. It was supposed to be fine. I was thinking, really? I was thinking 3 to 4 hours because of how little stuff we had. Would you like to know how many hours it took to load the truck? Because all of the boxes had to be reboxed because they wouldn't have fit on the truck.
Yeah.
I ended up giving away my patio furniture. You know that furniture that I had, Rob? That
oh, the
patio
nice furniture? Stuff?
The other stuff, yes.
Yeah, the wicker stuff.
I will tell the world that Carla's granddaddy had a windfall. He loves furnishings, and he had a windfall like no other.
Wow.
He received in this move the patio furniture.
Mm.
He also received a freezer that we had down in the basement.
Oh, I so would have taken that freezer.
Oh, the goodies freezer?
You would have taken the freezer?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I might be able to still get you the freezer. I might be able to do that.
Moment
if
is
he
passed.
Doesn't, if he doesn't have
too
room
much
for
work.
It. If he doesn't have room for it. But anyway, do you really mean that, or are you being fictitious?
No, I would love to have the freezer.
Would you really like to have the freezer?
I had a spot picked out for it in my garage.
Imagine what you could do with a trip to Costco if you had your own freezer.
Listen, this is Imperial brand ice cream with extra butterfat.
This is very delightful. I look forward to having it.
What you could do is you could buy in bulk and then save your meats in a frozen state and pass the savings along to you.
Or you could buy an entire cow.
That's right. I will have a side of beef, please.
Yes, thank you.
So none of that fit, and you had to just give it away?
Yeah.
I can't imagine what that feels like. I know it's Carla's father, but still, you're like, this is the stuff I wanted to take.
And that is stuff that you really wanted to keep, that patio furniture. Did you get to keep the deck heater? The propane deck heater?
No, Jerky. I gave it to Jerky.
Oh, my God. He's going to burn his house down.
I gave it
you
to
shouldn't
Jerky.
Give him fire.
We don't.
That man doesn't need that.
We did not need the heater down here.
I know, but I was just now.
A lot of things
frightened.
You need down in South Florida, heater's not one of them.
Yeah, well, West South Florida has a very warm climate.
West South Florida is very, very, very chilly. The thing that got me uptight is that they knew, but I thought they were just kind of being negative, and they were absolutely spot on. If they hadn't repacked stuff, we would have been totally screwed. And
how many boxes
was,
did they eliminate by repacking? And
oh
I'm guessing
God.
The deal is
30,
that since
40, 50, something like that. I mean, amazing amount.
Wow.
Of
so because Carla and her mom probably were thinking about how much they would be comfortable lifting. They weren't thinking that these are
right.
professional lifters. These guys yes. can move houses.
Put the four ties in that medium-sized box over there.
So did you leave a lot of like
put
busted
the babies,
up?
Put two of the baby's stuffed animals in that that large box over there.
One
please.
Animal
Thank
per
you.
Box, Mike, so they don't
yes.
fight.
It was frustrating.
Did you leave a lot of busted up boxes at the house? You probably lost a fortune on cardboard.
No, actually, Rob, they left them on the side, right near the side porch where Daddy O'Mara had to, haul them out to the street on Monday before the move started. Mm. In that, and incidentally, I should mention the fact that although it was March 31st,
yes.
Really the first weekend of spring in Washington, D.C., it was snowing.
Oh, that's right. Day. I forgot that we got a good
wet
windstorm.
Wet snowflakes that were accumulating on the deck. And I said, hey, pretty good sign off. You know, pretty good send off, rather. It was
how,
really. It
how
was
many
amazing.
Boxes did you have to throw away?
I really, they were all stacked and flat, so I'm not sure.
Do you
what
know that every
was.
One of those boxes was probably like $3.50 or $4?
No, I think they were more like 79 cents, something like that.
Well, if you can throw money away, why
yeah,
not?
Yeah, sure, why not?
I wasn't trying to throw money away, Mr. Hoarder. I was not trying to put... I don't have a grand... We have a... Hey, you have a grandparent that you put... That you have a parent that you put stuff in the basement. We had a grandparent that we put stuff in his
yeah,
basement.
Yeah, but I'm getting that stuff back.
Well, the option was, if we ever needed anything,
like you're
we
ever
going
to come back here to get that. That was sayonara. Yeah, see you on eBay.
You know,
goodbye.
Oscar is right. The next box you're going to need, Mike, has handles on it.
I'm going to be. Do you know the way it's looking right yeah. now? I'm going to be back in May, in D.C. in May.
Yeah,
right.
That's
true.
I'm going to be back in D.C. in June,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to be back in D.C. in August. So I'm coming back to D.C. three times in the next in less than 3 months.
Can't wait.
It's going to be great.
Why are you saying it like that? Can't wait. What's that? What
he's just
you?
Being a dick. What he's being a dick because now he's all, you know, well, I fixed Ustream. I fixed everything. So now I've got time to be a dick to Mike.
No, I'm not being a dick. I thought over vacation, I sat there and I said, I'm the luckiest SOB I know. I get to work with guys that I love and care about. I get to, and this is after we had a great sound check on Friday because I was
That's
worried
right.
about that.
That's right. It was a glorious dress rehearsal.
Clearly wasn't a thorough one, but you guys had a good one. And I said, and then on Monday, I get to go into work and hear how horrible Mike's life is in Florida, and it'll be fun. So
you know what I did? Oh. You know, and I'm sorry, I'm on a different microphone
hi, nice
right
to
now.
See you again.
Yeah.
Do you know what I did?
You knocked
what?
Your wire out.
I just kicked a cord out of the wall.
Yeah.
Did you really?
Swear to God, I kicked the cord out of the wall.
What cord?
I did. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
What
do
cord?
I sound okay?
You sound like you're
great.
On a different mic.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I
what
sound
cord
like
did
I'm
you kick out?
Look at the audio processor.
Oh my God.
Can you go ahead and plug that in?
Yeah, I can.
That'd be great. Oscar, you truly are the lucky man.
You know what I love about this is that Mike just gave me S for a good 15 minutes for trying to fix a problem.
And while we're on the air?
Yeah, while we're on the air, crawling on a counter. Right now, Mr. Mike O'Mara is going down underneath his work desk.
Yes. Oh, this is such a treat for the
streamer. Because, you know, he's really nimble. And he left about 5 minutes ago now for my clock. And he's underneath the console looking for the right plug to plug in.
So sounds like he got it.
He got it. Now another 5 minutes later, he'll be back up that mic. He's going to get from sitting to standing.
Oscar, I want to explain to you why I'm so lucky. You talk about you're lucky. I'm lucky because when you built this studio, all of the outlets are under the console, so we can't kick them out.
No, you can't kick
them
out.
So this problem is foreign to me. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here he is.
I'll be honest with you. Yeah, that was easier to do 20 years ago.
Can we get you a towel?
I swear to God, that is so painful.
Are you wearing hard shoes or flip-flops?
I got my sandals.
Oh, I saw his whole outfit.
South Florida, that's the way that
dangerous.
Works.
Dangerous.
Oscar was so busy. Oscar was so busy straightening up wires before the show, he didn't get to see the Hanging the Banner show, which I enjoyed immensely because I got to see you in full body. I saw your sandals and I saw your ass crack.
Well, we should point out the fact that we have a... And does everything sound okay?
Yeah, you sound great.
Mm-hmm. Much better now that you've plugged it in.
Everything's all right?
Oh, my God.
All right, everything's Jesus. Sorry. I'm sorry.
No, I don't know,
Carla, Carla, if you're listening, feed that man before he comes on the show, please.
Did you hear it when Carly came in and offered me lunch?
Yes.
Yes.
Just like, I'm like Hyman Roth. So, enjoy your cake. Without him, I'm so obsessed with The Godfather. I don't know if you've noticed, The Godfather has been on cable 50 or 60 times.
Is it
it's been
Cinemax?
All over cable.
Cinemax is actually promoting it and running all three in sequence, I think.
It's so great.
It
I watched it. What a great movie. I mean, I just watch it again and again. I never get tired of
it. So many laughs.
The one week, you know what the weakest link?
What?
The weakest link for violence in movie aficionados, the one that I cannot stand.
What?
Is when Sonny goes over to pick up his sister, and she's gotten beaten up by Carlo.
Yeah,
and so he finds Carlo on the street and he beats him up with a trash can lid. It is so fake. If you ever want to see,
it's not good.
The phoniest scene ever done. The one thing Francis Ford Coppola did, you can see they do a long shot and you can actually see him, not really throwing the punches.
But you know what? They balance it out for when they kill Sonny in the toll booth.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Kill scene.
That's a pretty good kill scene. I think that had the things that they put on him that explode to make it look like he's getting hit with a bullet. I think that held the record at the time for having the most of those in any scene in Hollywood history.
It's so intense.
They just destroyed him. Look what they did to my boy.
It's all over the place. Well, at the end of the move, there were moments that I wanted to take a contract out on everybody involved because I was so frustrated with the fact that A, we're not going to get all our stuff down here. And B, I am just watching money pour out of my body. I'm just watching the dollar signs floating into space.
Is it an hourly rate that hadn't been set in advance? So you knew how much per hour, but not how many hours.
Absolutely. And it drove me nuts.
How many movers did you have up here?
Three guys.
And can I guess?
No, we're not talking about the dollars. I don't want to give their rate away.
Why not?
It was $5,000
an hour. $5,000.
Hey Joe, we should do a parody of those Rob Lowe commercials.
Oh man, that's a great idea. Who are you going to be?
I'm going to be the cool, good-looking Rob Lowe.
Well, who am I going to be?
Any of the weird, non-cool, good-looking Rob Lowe's.
Well, what am I going to wear?
Wear what you're wearing. It works perfect. Rob and Joe Show here is every week. RobandJoeShow.com, the new TMOS app, and on iTunes.
The best of O'Mara.
The journey begins with the box truck. It was
what time
was
on Sunday
terrifying.
Did they finish packing?
Oh boy, on Sunday, I want to say it was 10 hours, and they got started. They got started around 10 in the morning.
So you didn't leave on Sunday. You left on Monday.
It ran together.
What time did you leave?
To make a long story short, it was 10 hours on one end and 10 hours on the other.
Wow.
And you left on Monday?
And we left on Monday.
Where was the truck overnight?
The truck stayed another night in the haunted
abandoned
yard.
Church.
You left a fully packed truck.
Oh, well, I'm sure
and
he did
a lot.
I'm sure he did the trick.
What's the trick?
The trick is you back the truck up to a wall and then you put on the parking brake so you can't open the doors without
that's
moving the truck.
No, he yeah, didn't did do that.
You didn't do the trick?
He picked the closest spot to the street so he could walk back.
Yeah, and no. then he put up a sign that said $25 a box.
Are you kidding? No. That's how people get robbed all the time.
That's right.
That's Moving why truck. I have a padlock on the back
oh,
of the truck.
Oh, please. You know have what, you ever watched
I put
Cops?
A padlock. I put a padlock on the back of the truck. Nobody stole anything.
You were very close to having plenty of room in that truck.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. People
do
see
they
a
get
truck
ripped
like,
off a lot?
Do you ever seen something called, I mean, it's really fantastic. I think they talk about it on Tech 411. It's called a bolt cutter.
Yeah. It's got two ends, and when you squeeze them together, it breaks
the
padlock.
It breaks the lock, and
yeah,
then they
know
go
it,
in. And
I know what a bolt cutter is, thank you, but I assume with a padlock, we'd be okay.
Yeah, well, the abandoned church, you know, and people, who well, knows the, what sort of people are hanging out there.
It was within walking distance of my home.
And it was haunted, too, so ghosts yes. could have taken
me. I had enough trouble without you guys picking on the fact that I left the truck in the wrong
place.
Can
you imagine if someone stole the truck?
Oh, my God.
Who would you blame then?
That's right.
The padlock screams, I have stuff in here.
You'd say, hello, Yale Company, I've got a bone to pick with you.
If they left my bed and my chair on there, first of all, if they open up that box truck, I swear to God, the average criminal would lift up the little hatch or whatever it's called.
The door?
The lift.
What's the lid?
It's a door.
It's the door. Yeah, the door to the truck. Okay, it's the door. I thought it might have a name.
No, it's a door.
The hatch.
The hatch.
It's not a hatch. Hatch would be if you like came in from up top.
Or you got to turn it. You got to turn the wheel like you're in a safe, you know?
Yeah. I thought with a week off, you guys would be nicer to me when we got back. But anyway, so.
Think how bad we could be.
Thank you. The little lid that I lift, they wouldn't want to touch anything because it was all jammed in there.
Right.
Including a treadmill upside down jammed into the very back.
This is what they would say. Oh, man, this is just Goodwill. Let's get out of here.
That's right. Hey, if you turned on the upside down treadmill, could you ride it around like a tank tread?
No, we couldn't, Rob. Thank you, though. I appreciate that.
Think how cool that would be.
They had to pick up a treadmill. Those things are so effing heavy.
Well, that's the best workout that treadmill's given in years.
True.
It's in storage now.
Of course
down
it is.
Here in Florida.
Oh, my God.
So all the vagrants have better cardiovascular. Well,
did you leave your storage locker open?
The thing that took time on this end is the storage didn't have room for the stuff we were going to put in storage, so we ended up having to get two storage bays.
Can you imagine if Mike's storage lockers, plural, end up on Storage Wars?
Yeah. Well, how much did you pay? I got a treadmill. How big was your storage locker? Because those are done by square feet, right?
Yeah.
How many?
I don't know.
Okay. Just does it open up to a bigger locker?
10 by 15.
150 square feet.
Yeah.
And so you got 10, two of those?
Yeah, yeah.
And, do they connect?
That's half my condo. Suite? That's half my condo, two of those. How much stuff do you have?
We have two mattresses. We have a sofa.
Yes.
We have a dresser, two dressers. Mm. We have an armoire. And we have a lot of boxes.
It's a brand new.
Why are you laughing?
Bob.
This is normal. You know you have stuff.
I have stuff too.
What if you had to move? You'd have more stuff than we do.
I'd kill myself.
You have a lot of stuff.
I'd sooner kill myself than move.
Before you would move.
I've told Carrie. She says, "What if we ever really, really strike it rich? We could buy a bigger house." I said, "No, we'll just buy the townhouse next to us and connect them because I'm not moving my stuff again."
Well, we get down here, and I call the community, Cocoon Community.
Yes.
And the guy at the gatehouse of the Cocoon Community, he says to me, well, not sure they like to have stuff on the street overnight. I'm like, well, they better like it this time because there's a 22-foot box truck that's sitting out there. I just didn't
anything in your rental agreement about padlocks?
You know what? Well, we have security here, so it's fine. So I was fine. But I don't think that the new neighbors, counted on my box truck being there for 3 days.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Which it was.
And I spoke to you. You were sweating this as early as Thursday.
Three days?
The original night when we got down here Tuesday night.
Yes. Right.
Then the movers arriving on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wednesday night we weren't done. And we had to go back over to storage again and get people out on Thursday.
So you had
to
2 days
moving the crap we had. Incidentally, people have too much stuff. Okay?
Yeah, you got to thin the herd, man.
People have too much stuff.
That's I just had a thought, Oscar, that you're going to enjoy very much. So you took 2 days to drive down there. Where did you store the truck when you overnighted on the trip?
Just in front of the motel.
In a sketchy motel lot.
Yeah, well, we went
to
two motels.
Did you back it up to the wall?
Yeah, I'm sure he did the trick.
You didn't back it up?
What I didn't realize on the drive down, I'm glad you brought this up because there's so much that went on.
Jesus.
When we stopped in Georgia, halfway between Virginia and Florida.
Beautiful state.
Where we are in Florida, when we stopped, we forgot one little fact. play that goddamn cocoon music again.
Okay.
Because what we forgot is that every one of these effing 90-year-olds in their Oldsmobile Buicks are coming back north when going south. And when we stopped in Savannah, Georgia, Zed, Bagel, Goose Egg, no hotel rooms in the entire town. You know, we've stopped there before.
Oh, I remember.
And you remember we stopped there before?
Yeah.
There was
The Wire's filmed there.
Really, I could have called the guy at Robert De Niro University who would have said, well, how many hotel rooms do you have? You got nothing. You got nothing.
That's the place that had, I want to say, 3 inches of plexiglass on top of 2 feet of plexiglass to talk to the one guy behind the counter.
You should have gone to the Bulletproof Glass Hotel and said, do you remember us?
We went to one hotel that was before Savannah.
Yes.
Because we were calling and everything was completely sold out.
Who was doing the calling on the phone?
I think, Carla was doing some of it and I was doing some of it.
How was that going?
The bottom, beautifully.
Yeah.
Beautifully. We wouldn't be able to do this show without these cameras, would we? Rob?
Yes.
Beautiful.
Was it tense?
Yes, it was very tense. I hate to trouble you, but my name is Mike O'Mara, and I was wondering if I may trouble you for a room this evening.
I
am saying hello, hello.
I haven't even gotten to the really good part. I haven't gotten to the lady that wigged out in Florida when we got down here. But I have
said,
to tell you
this. Sorry, we have no rooms now. Rig off.
We stop at the. I think it was part of the sketchy chain. I think it was part of the sketchy chain of motels around the country. Mm-hmm. I don't even tell. This is before. This is somewhere either in sketchy South Carolina or sketchy Georgia.
Sketchy
I don't
Georgia,
know where
sketchy
we were.
County.
It was. We were in sketchy county. We were in. I think it was. No, sketchy is a town located in Sinister, Georgia.
Oh, nah. I forgot. It's near Sinister.
Sketchy is a town located in Sinister County, Georgia, and I think it's right near the Crime River. And
is it near Meth Crossing?
It's near Crystal Meth Creek.
You'd pick a different town to stop in?
Well, we stopped earlier because this was just random off of Route 95.
Yeah.
We get to this motel and I said, the first question, because we're traveling not only with the baby, but we're traveling with the little pets. And
oh,
I got
my
frustrated.
God, I forgot about that.
Jesus, the nightmare. That's the whole nightmare, because you have to find the motel that takes the little crappers.
Is the lady of the house, she's driving the automobile?
Yes.
And does she have the child in both
dogs? Mr. O'Mara is driving the box truck.
And Mr. O'Mara, are you by yourself?
Yes, my beautiful bride has not only the baby, but the two dogs, Beluga and Frankie. Yeah.
Wow. She deserves a round of applause.
She's probably
Our whole task, we got done last week at the end. On Friday, I looked at her and I said, you know what? We are meant to be together, because the fact is...
You do everything I supervise.
I drove a 22-foot box truck, you ass! What I was saying to her was that this was a daunting task. And so we get to this sketchy, sketchy motel.
Yes.
Carla comes in. I parked the box truck. Carla is getting her suitcase out. And she says, oh, God. I said, what? She said, I smell marijuana.
Oh,
what is she, a square?
And at this point, a car pulls in next to us.
Yes.
And I swear to God. On the side of that car, they should have had a decal that said "Spring Bride."
Oh no!
Spring Bride.
So you were inconvenienced by seniors and youngsters.
Was James Franco in there with a 17-year-old?
Yeah, hitting on a 16-year-old.
There were. It looked seriously like it was the crime convention 2014.
You said to him, "Excuse me," and he said, "People on lids should not drive."
It was, and Carla gets freaked out because the guy, Carla's a handsome woman.
Yeah,
sure.
He's eyeballing her.
And, she's eyeballing. The guy in the car next to us is eyeballing the woman who's, standing there talking to her grandfather next to the box truck.
She is being ogled. And that's an uncomfortable situation.
She appears to be a single mom when I'm walking around with her, because I'm like going, you won't get her any older and you won't ever die. And I'm walking around following her. She gets into the motel. She says, we're leaving. I said,
oh, no.
She said, you didn't have to pay too much. And I hadn't told her what I paid for the motel room.
Yeah.
How much was
it? If you want to know when you get to get the best rate at a sketchy motel,
yeah,
you spend $38 for the whole family.
What there
you
is go. Wrong with
so,
you?
Excellent.
Because, Oscar, I was desperate to get a place to spend the night.
I understand.
We needed to put our head on a pillow.
$38,
change back on 220s, and everybody sleeps
you?
In comfort. Do you think Carla would have stayed if you'd put a padlock on the door?
It was scary. Okay. I was fine with the marijuana smoke. I was fine with spring break. When we walked in, I'm hooking up my breathing machine, which is my first thing that I do when I go into the motel.
Of course.
And I get down, and that's when I saw the multitude of some sort of vermin trap that was located. And I said, we're out of here. We're leaving right now.
You mean a physical trap?
A physical plastic trap on the floor for roaches or ants or mice or whatever the... F it was.
Possum.
That's what was on the
$39.
Anacondas, you know, Burmese pythons. I don't know what they were trying to catch, but they were in the motel room, and that was where I drew my line. I said, I don't care about spring break and the marijuana smoke.
You can hold my wife all you want.
You can hold my wife fine as long as I get a good night's sleep.
What are we coming to when you can drop $38 and still not get quality?
What are we coming to when Mike spends more on sunglasses he loses in a week's time than he did on the entire trip down.
It was necessity. I was trying to find it was convenience.
Especially
who was
take
the dog.
Especially with Michael crawling now, the last thing you need is him ensnared in some sort of trap.
But to make a long story short, we got the F out of there.
Okay.
We hopped into the truck. She hopped into the car, and we made our way down to Blue Hair, Georgia. And when we got to Blue Hair, Georgia, we lucked into a La Quinta Inn. And
oh, they're great.
Wow, my people took care of you.
It was like staying at the Ritz-Carlton. It
means
fantastic.
The Quinta. And did you get the continental breakfast?
We did not because you know what? Because it was sold out. And I am not gonna navigate my way through the sea of farting octogenarians that are trying to get their eggs in a 4x4 square room. We got the hell out of there the next morning.
It's a good
and
plan.
Made our way right down here.
It's a good plan because you should always, Mike, always avoid square eggs. And that's how they serve the eggs. At
very
the La Quinta square continental because it's a square deal.
It's a square deal. You know, the bottom line is we had some bumps in the road, but we made it down here.
Yeah.
We survived.
God bless you.
It was survived. The one thing I didn't tell you is I did not count on driving with the sun going down. And when the sun goes down, when you're C.W. McCall out there rolling your trucking convoy, I will tell you something. That's when these guys decide that they're going to go a little bit faster.
Sure.
And the 18-wheelers, and there are parts of, I don't know whether it's South Carolina or Georgia or both, that Route 95 is almost like a bridge going through a swamp with no shoulder. You guys have driven it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
It's nice and narrow.
Oh, it freaked me out. And that's when, you know, the one thing about the 22-foot box truck when I'm driving it is anytime I would relax, if I would take one single second to look at anything on the side of the road, if I wanted to glance to my left or glance to my right, it was so frustrating because the weight of that box truck was so top heavy
that
I would feel like I was going to drive off the road.
It is scary if you've never really driven one of those, and then you're trying. The logic is that I'm going to drive a little slower, but you don't really take into account how those cars aren't made to maneuver. You have to you have to gauge how much distance you need to get into the next lane a couple miles ahead of time.
Slow isn't really going to help you. It has to be with planning ahead. It's scary
stuff.
Well,
what I learned about moving and movers, and this is the educational part, is you always have more stuff than you think you have.
Mm-hmm.
You always need more space than you think you need, and you always need a bigger truck than you think you need. That I swear to God, that's
so
what
true.
I learned from this experience.
It is so
because
true.
Because we really, every step of the way, it took more time and money because we had to have more guys offload stuff. And we gave stuff away on this end, too. I mean, it's just like what I'm trying to do. The whole purpose of this was to put this tiny little studio in this tiny little gnome village that I live in down here. You know, this tiny little land of misfit toys and where I can actually downsize and simplify my life. There are articles written about it. Oscar, I'm sure you've read them where even younger couples now are trying to
less
downsize
stuff.
Their less stuff.
Yeah.
And and that's what hopefully we're going to accomplish. But you know, it's all out the window today because Jimmy Cerrito is coming down a day early.
Oh, that's good. Well, he wanted to beat the weather, as I read all weekend.
I have a little black cloud floating all over.
I seem to be bringing weather with me.
But God bless that man. That Buffalo
wonderful human being who is riding my motorcycle as we speak down here to West South Florida, as Rob would call it.
And it's right down and here. He's there for 2 weeks?
He's
how long is he there for?
He leaves Thursday afternoon, I think.
Oh, he's got a couple of days.
Yeah. He's got a couple of days. I was counting on him arriving tomorrow night.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah,
you should go see. You should go see Captain America or something.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Or go the to Grand the Budapest. With Jimmy.
Yeah. Jimmy might enjoy the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yeah. Or you could probably see Noah.
Oh, that would be great. Jimmy is a very religious fellow.
You like boats and God?
Boats
you know,
and God.
I really thought the week off would have changed things, but obviously it's not going to change things. So that's
Yeah,
there I am in my truck, my big box truck.
Yeah. Well, yeah, 10-4, Big Ben for and, sure. For
it
sure.
smelled great, though.
Oh, I bet. Especially after you've returned it.
Yeah. Well, it smelled a little like biology.
Did you leave anything in the seat?
How many wrappers were there?
Listen, we're talking about 14 hours of road travel.
I understand.
Yeah, I left a lot in the seat. We'll take a break and come back with news you may not need on the Mike O'Meara Show.
Do you talk C++?
Do I?
Can you telnet into port 25 and fake an email?
Can I?
Do you like to surf the backplane of a router?
Yes, I do.
Have you ever hex-edited your way to a registered version?
Sounds sexy.
We're not going to be talking about any of those things, but what will we be talking about, Oscar?
It's technology and the way it affects your life.
And we're going to be combining a lot of entertainment. It's going to be a good time. This is not your father's tech show.
Tech 411 Show, available on the More Broadcasting Network and on iTunes.
That means it's good, so please check it out.
Or don't. We are always running
for the thrill of it, thrill of it. It's the Mike O'Meara Show.
Well, hail, hail, the gang's all here, and we are delighted to have you with us again on the Mike O'Meara Show. It's another day, another doctor for your
No.
Now, when you said that you're falling apart, do you blame the fact that you are at an advanced age, or is it Florida that's actually doing it to you?
I have no... This is the first time in my life that I have had this much pain, and I had no idea. Now, I have a vague idea of what it was. The only thing I purchased when I came down here to South Florida, and Oscar remembers those foo-foo, like, girly-girly dining room chairs that I've used to do a broadcast.
Sure.
Well, those foo-foo, wicker, rattan, whatever they are, little cheapo chairs,
yes.
I never had this problem with them. I rolled out to the little, Office Hal's to buy a decent little office chair.
Was Hal there?
And, well, you know, it's like I think they should have said we've got the soft Vinnie model over here, and we've got the Tony model here. And have you tried the new Femur Buster?
Oh,
this is the Femur Buster chair that we have for you. And so the only thing, there are two things that were at play here. You know, I drove that 22-foot box truck down from Florida, from Virginia down to Florida, but the only when I got into that truck, the right side of the bench seat was like mashed down, and the left-hand side was like all the way up. And I drove that for 14, 15 hours.
I thought you were going to say, when you got in, the left side of the truck started to sag.
No. The right side.
I know. That's way over the line.
That's not nice.
That is.
Yeah, and incidentally, the way that T-shirt looks on you, pal, with high definition.
Tell me.
I would tell you, you're nobody to talk. I swear, I'm ready to do a C-section right now.
Oh, but wow. Anyway.
Hey, I want to tell you.
You give birth to something diseased. I'm not sure what it is, but it likes corn.
Congratulations. You've given birth to an 8-pound, 6-ounce baby honey bun. But anyway.
So you had the big drive in an uncomfortable vehicle.
Okay, so I get in this thing, and the bench seat is low on the right side, and it's elevated on the left. Like somebody was... Maybe some big guy was sitting in the middle and he crushed it all down. So my left cheek, all 14 hours in the box truck, was sort of skewed up left.
That will
then
do
I
it.
Get down and I get this this office chair, and it's, you know, I only found out when Jimmy was here on Thursday. I'm pressing down with my thumb right where the pain is, and there's this metal rod that comes out. Yeah. It's a support thing. It's where the armrest is connected. Let me show you. Right. Hold on a second.
Sounds amazing.
Mike is going to go and get the Femur Buster.
A nice sturdy chair.
Now, was it the Femur Buster 2000 or was it the original Femur Buster?
Can you see the Femur Buster here?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, pull it over. Oh, there we go. It looks
nice.
Oh, it's
very space age.
Very stylish. Okay, yeah, see it? Look, he's going to hurt himself.
He is.
Oh, my God.
You shouldn't be picking that up.
All right, he's got that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can see it. The left, the right side. Metal. Right side of
Mike,
the chair.
Mike, that really looks like it was... what are you doing?
He just hurt himself. He just stubbed his toe. There you go.
Well, that's what happens when you pick a chair up with one hand like that.
Oh.
Come on.
Aww.
Sit down, Mothra.
That's Cappy's voice you can hear, Cappy.
No, that's
Cappy, who brings
that's Pony.
A certain sensibility and sympathy and empathy to this show that it really is inappropriate.
Slapping our knee.
What was it that drew you to the chair? The fact that it looks like it was repurposed from O'Hare Airport? It looks really a chair that you would be in a row, bolted down in a 1970s airport.
Doesn't it seriously look like Dean Martin ought to be sitting there with Jacqueline Bisset getting ready for their flight?
Yeah, it's Mike O'Mara's Matt Helm movie.
Stylish. Mike, maybe they have those here for the studio. Those do look snazzy.
Yeah, can you mail it up to us?
They're very nice. There's a name for it. It's a standard chair. You see it on certain television shows. That's why I bought it.
Charlie Rose.
No, I bought it because it didn't have all that BS padding on it, and I was foolish because it didn't work. Yeah, now, for years, the chairs that you guys have, the ones we had in the old studio.
$100 a piece.
That I should have brought down here. We're perfect. This was $125. This wasn't that expensive.
Did you save the receipt?
Well, they've got me in the system, so I'm taking it back.
Receipts.
And
that thing will be rot there for the next 5 years.
Yeah, you know what, pal? Okay, you know what? You know, Mr. Wait for Comcast all day? I'm going to tell you this.
Yes.
I'm going to bring this chair back in tomorrow.
You are?
Really?
To the office supply store that opens up at 12 noon, which is up here, which I filed up here because I've been going to the office supply store so much, getting the studio ready. It was a...
Is your phone on?
No, sure. I don't think it is.
No, it's vibrating. No. It's vibrating.
Good
right
call. Good call.
Hold it to your hip. Maybe it'll make it feel better. That's not funny.
You know what's great about this? You know when we knew this worked, Rob, that you can see this. That I'm looking right at you right now and you can see this.
Yeah, I think I'm going to crawl into the console.
Who's calling? Is it Carla?
You can see the way this works.
No, it's actually the office supply store. They say no returns.
Yeah, we're actually open at 11.
And it's store credit only.
So anyhow,
2,000 post-its.
The pain of this, the only thing that I think was comparable to this is, Rob remembers, Oscar, you didn't work with me then when I, I'd come in like every 3 weeks or so, and Rob would say I look like Fred Sanford.
Yeah, you walked.
Because I was walking down the hallway and I was stilted, debilitated with back pain.
And what would happen, if I can describe it, Mike, what would happen is your right leg would go in front of you with your right foot pointed out. And then it would stop haltingly, and then you'd drag your left foot to catch up. It almost looked like a badly designed walking robot, where the walking software was almost right. I watched it last night. You walked like Kevin Spacey in The Usual Suspects.
Great call.
Here comes verbal.
Well, this thing was as acute as anything I have ever dealt with.
So cute.
I don't know where it came from, so cute. And it was so painful that I just didn't get a lot of sleep, and that's the worst thing in the world. When you know you're really in pain when you can't sleep.
Right.
And so I told you about the doctor whose face I farted in the other day.
Yes.
And he put me on an anti-inflammatory, and that didn't... I mean, I've never taken
to
stuff like
that.
To
stop your farting?
No, not to stop my farting.
Great question,
Thank you.
Nice
she's,
follow-up.
You know what? She's getting... Send her back today. After today, send her back to California. Will you please?
No, I think she's doing great.
It's already scheduled.
But anyhow...
She's coming to you.
The guy, after this happened, he gave me anti-inflammatories, didn't do anything, and he said, if that doesn't work, we'll schedule you with this guy that apparently flies in from the Midwest.
Does he wear a cape?
This doctor... Dr. Slick, who flies in for the Midwest. So he said, and you can make an appointment. He's here tomorrow.
Oh.
So if it continues, you can make an appointment. Well, I've dealt with enough. I'm falling apart enough where I know how to deal with doctors. And I make the appointment like 5 minutes later with this because I know I'm not going to feel better. And it was right. So I wake up in the morning, still in a lot of pain, and I roll out to this orthopedic guy.
Right.
And the orthopedic guy comes in. And Rob,
yes.
I swear to God.
Did you actually see him fly in?
No.
Oh, okay.
The celebrity he most resembled,
yes.
I am not exaggerating, a young, extremely tan Mel Brooks.
Oh, no.
Nice.
So the young, good-looking Mel Brooks.
The young, good-looking Mel Brooks.
Like what the Mel Brooks that would like do.
But
like
here's
the
how you
Cabin
know.
Show.
This is how you know you've got the good doctor.
Yes.
He comes in the sport coat and tie. You know,
oh, that's good.
No doctor's coat. You know, he's there. Hello, how are you? And so Carla was having a problem with her knee, and we got like the family package appointment
where
it was the one-stop shop. And he walks in and goes, O'Mara family. Because the baby's in there, too.
Oh, my God.
And I'd had x-rays the day before, and I don't know what the hell is going on. They ruled out anything really serious.
I know what it is. And
what is
it? And you're going to think this is mean, but it's simply, you know, I come from a medical family. So
okay, first of all, you have to take that back. That's like me saying I come from a family of teachers. I do, but I'm an idiot.
I use it too because I also come from a medical family, so I use it too.
Yeah.
Oscar and I are both. Some people in our family tree have succeeded in med school.
They have.
Yeah, Oscar. The reason you're a medical family is because you're constantly like killing yourself.
I am.
That's why you're on the other side.
Well, I've got four doctors that are in my family, my immediate family. So I would say that counts for something.
Sure. I have skinny people in my.
You don't live that active of a lifestyle. And this past week has been so active with the move and the moving in and the setting up of the studio and people coming into town. All that in itself, if you don't...
You have something on your nose, Mike?
If you're not used to that, Mike, if you're not used to that, then...
That's not what caused the injury, Oscar.
Well... Some would say if you were in shape and you lifted the chair or you had a bad ride in the car, you wouldn't be as affected from an ill bench or like a bench.
An
that doesn't,
ill bench,
a bench
Mike.
That doesn't sit right or
there
a chair
is
that
no
doesn't...
one that would like to agree with you more yes. ass than me, but I will tell you I will tell you that the very thing that caused the injury was the sedentary nature of what I do, where we were sitting in that chair. You know, you guys realize we have been doing the shows this week, but we've also been tweaking. And so
lots of time.
We've all been like in place to do the show for probably 3 hours at a time, which, you know, you might say, well, that's a normal broadcast. Well, yeah, but I mean, sitting, you're normally up and down, and we've just been adjusting levels, sitting in that chair. So I think the fact that I was sedentary is what caused the problem.
Do you recall who built the box truck? What manufacturer?
International Harvester.
The fact is they can't build a seat. That's what really got you started in it. Because even if
do you speak from experience with that one?
Do you know when I bought my second Caprice of the three, that grand trilogy of automobiles, it was the chief of police's car from Gaithersburg, Maryland.
We've heard this. Yes, no one cares about the chief of police from Gaithersburg, Maryland.
But he was obviously...
I remember the seat, though.
He was obviously a larger man. Yes. Because when I looked at the car, it looked like it was in perfect condition.
Yes.
But when I'd sit in the seat... It would twist. And I said, oh, you know what? There's something broken in the seat. So I replaced the seat. And
the
entire
seat?
Well, yeah, because they were bucket seats. Jeez. I could replace one seat.
Okay.
And
I remember
still
this
twisting.
Seat. It looks like, seriously, the late John Panette was camping out there. That terrible a seat.
What I realized after I one Saturday woke up and could not get out of bed because my back was so screwed up, I pulled back the plastic because it didn't even have carpeting. It had a rubber mat on the bottom.
It had no support.
What happened is the back right connection where the seat was bolted down, the floorboard of the car had ripped. So anytime someone sat in the seat, it twisted back into the right. And when you sit in a crooked chair for any amount of time, your back is constantly trying to compensate. And that's probably your hip was trying to compensate for the bad International Harvester seat. And that, coupled with the femur buster, is why you're walking like a man of 80.
Are you back now?
Whatever,
what happened?
Not 100%. He said to 3 days that I would be 100%. I'm 50% better than I was
Did
yesterday.
Did you explain that you haven't been 100% in 20 years?
I haven't been. I'll never be 100%.
Is Carla feeling better?
I've accepted that reality. No, she is not. She did not get any real help.
Oh.
She's scheduled next week for an MRI because she's got some sort of ligament issue in her knee, and that's been going on. But, you know, Carla walks 5 miles a day, so I think that's probably her dilemma that she's got.
Yes.
So he comes in, and she only deals with the fact that I've been diagnosed. I said to Carla walking in, I said, there are two things that are going to go on here. He is going to... tell me what I have to do, that it's going to go away quickly, or he's going to give me a cortisone shot, and that's the only thing that's going to make me happy. Anything else is not going to be a pleasant experience.
Right.
When he said that I needed the cortisone shot, it was like hearing a wonderful, wonderful piece of news, because I know...
Chorus of Angels.
Well, yeah, because, you know, the fact is, I know based on, playing hockey, that when you hear cortisone, it's like your pain will float away.
Right.
In time. I also know that the delivery method for a cortisone shot, for anybody that's ever gotten one, is, you know, is not exactly the most pleasant experience in the world.
Now, explain that, because I'm being totally sedentary, have never required cortisone of any sort. Why is it painful? Is it the needle that hurts? Is it the stuff going in that hurts?
Let me explain what a cortisone shot does, Mr. Spiewak.
Thank you, Mike.
Gotten, in my lifetime, I've gotten, oh, a couple. Let's call it eight.
All right. I'd like for you, Mike, please speak simply and clearly, because I do not come from a medical family.
Thank you.
I have gotten cortisone shots in my shoulders multiple times.
Okay.
And
but that's after you had Tommy John surgery.
That's yeah, when I was pitching in the Brewers organization.
Oh, it was
the only team I wanted to pitch for.
But you never got called up to the big dance. You were always a double-A Brewers ball, right?
This is true. And, yeah. It's when they used to call me Switch.
I remember.
Not based on my batting, based on my lifestyle outside of the
That's
batting.
Right. That's right. We're going to have to let you go, son.
Yep, I'm sorry. It just seems that if you want to hang with women and men... but anyway, so
it was a different time then, Mike.
It was
your fault.
Years ago.
It was, well, it was the 80s, the go-go 80s.
It was.
And I'm talking about the early 80s, too.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I love that street in Milwaukee. They always knew when Switch was out. But anyway.
When you head down to the block.
Jesus Christ, am I ever going to get to the point of this story?
I'm sorry.
So where the hell was I? I totally
Tommy John
surgery.
You were explaining the cortisone shots.
So they give me the cortisone shots in the shoulder, and the worst one I ever got was in the elbow, and I will tell you why they hurt. Because what a cortisone shot does, Rob, it's not like getting a shot for allergies or getting a vaccination. A cortisone shot is a needle that delivers a numbing agent to the actual muscle or joint that is inflamed.
Okay.
And I'm talking about inside of it. So if you have what I have, which is called bursitis,
yes,
in the upper part of my leg, he took the needle and I'll take you through the whole process.
Good.
Okay. He says, you, sir, are going to get a cortisone shot. I'm going to need you to remove your pants. You can leave your boxer shorts on and get up on this table and face the wall. At this point, believe it or not, maybe it was because of the previous day, but I begin nervously to experience the same sensation that I had in the previous doctor's office, and I shared that with Carla.
A pressure?
And she said, "What? A pressure that I could easily yeah. have done that, but I'm not going to this time. I'm in control today.
Good, because if you did that, you would have to remove your boxer shorts."
I was not doing that to the young, you know, comedian. I wasn't going to do that.
Dr. Brooks comes in and says, "Did someone bring some kind of sandwich?"
Yeah. So,
see, you've had breakfast.
He asks me to remove my. I was wearing my Florida shorts. He asked me to remove my shorts, get up on the table, and face the wall. At this point, because I'm an idiot, I am confused by the instruction. I said, "Do you want me just to lean up against the table and lift my leg up?"
Oh.
And he looked at me like, you know, what kind of idiot? No, I mean, get up on the table and face the wall. I just got totally turned around because I'm nervous because suddenly the procedure is going to begin.
And you know
and
what?
That's, of course, where in the corner I hear my lovely, supportive wife go like this.
Oh, laugh at you? Thanks, buddy.
Oh, Carla's my favorite.
She's just sitting. Well, you know, I realize really one of the primary reasons Carla is with me. I'm a very good father, and that's one.
Right.
But the other reason is that I am just a nonstop font of comedic energy for her, where she laughs at me because I am such a doddering idiot.
And one would think with, you know, years of radio experience and all your funny voices, that's where the comedy comes from?
No.
Really?
No, it's when Mike screws up. That's what
it's
going to
be. They love that. Now, the instructions, though, to be fair, are unclear. Does he want you on all fours?
Oh, yeah.
Does he want you?
slow down.
Relax.
Behave yourself.
I just tasted a little of dinner last night.
Wow. <Well, let's see. laughs>
Did the doctor have his pants down too?
Okay. No. All right. On that note, Ms. Pfeiffer, we are going to break for commercial.
The best of O'Mara.
The doctor tells me to get up on the table, face the wall with my boxer shorts, and I guess the boxer shorts. It's right up in my lower buttock. That's where the needle's going to go in.
Your left buttock?
My left buttock. And so
do you have a favorite
powder.
Of yours? Do you prefer the left to the right? Do you have a favorite buttock?
Oh, I definitely prefer my left.
Yeah?
Well, my right side, and that's the thing that made this injury so unusual. My right side is where my body has chosen to fall apart. Most people that are older will tell you, you have a good side and a bad side.
Well, everybody has that. It just becomes more pronounced as you get older.
True.
Thank you, Oscar. So
he comes from a medical family.
That is true.
That meanwhile, he's having a stroke from caffeine at the restaurant.
The problem is, I get up on the table and I'm facing the wall. And it goes, and then it just the time starts, and I don't know where the guy's. You know, maybe he's off like reviewing the latest Road Company of the producers. I don't know. I don't know what he's up to.
Hello, Nathan. This is the doctor. Listen, I've got this guy on the table, so I can't talk. But
do you know how certain doctors? And he's competent. I will tell you this: he's a good guy. You know immediately because he's a little longer in the tooth mm-hmm. than the other guys. He's and especially with orthopedic guys. There's a swagger to orthopedic surgeons that I like to have. So you know he's good. But also you know immediately there's no way you're going to be A, his equal, or B, ever his buddy.
No.
He comes from a position up here and he's just like, hello, O'Mara family.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you got a bursitis. I'll take care of that.
You want it?
Okay,
what you want to
right
find?
I'll be right back with you, cortisone.
You got to find the doctor that balances the God complex the best possible way because they need some of it to be a good doctor. But what you
don't
want
a buddy. If a doctor walked in, it's like, well, hi, how are you? Maybe we could get together and have like a sandwich sometime. Yeah. Then I'd be out of his office. I'd run out of his office.
Do you like hot chocolate?
It's 100 degrees outside.
Let's have tea. It's a beautiful day outside. Would you like to have lunch with me?
We're all going to see the Easter Bunny.
That would scare me.
Yeah, I agree.
So I wait on the table, buttocks facing my wife and son, for what seemed to be about 10 minutes. And, you know, in the condition I'm in, and this is another, for anybody that's ever had a back issue or a leg issue, you know, there's not a medical table. You know, they're not like sleep number beds, for God's sake.
No, you got to get up in them.
They're a board, and you sit there, and I'm waiting.
Is there paper on it?
What's that?
Did he put the paper on it?
Yeah, it's got the paper pulled across it.
I hate the paper.
And, of course, you know, and I get off the paper, and it looks like, seriously, like it's one of those bags that they hold fried chicken in.
Because, that's greasy.
Yeah, because I just shredded the paper with my body perspiration. You know,
you know what? That probably happens to everyone.
Yeah,
that
sure.
paper is so thin, you can just sit on it and just, even if you had dry skin and you were completely covered in ash, you would destroy that paper.
It's the worst
well, there's
paper.
Just this little area that looks like it's little tornado happened right in the middle of the crack. Paper.
Well, you know, you got to change the paper as soon as it gets clear. That's when they pull it off the roll and they crinkle it up.
I'm the only one that will ever describe the paper on a medical table looking like something that held a paper bag containing fried chicken. Homer Simpson's fried chicken.
That's when it's best. It's best when it's clear.
Oh, God. So he comes in. I'm not seeing anything. I feel him poking around. He says, that's the spot.
Now,
that's
Mike, I'm sorry to interrupt again, but you are still.
That's what you do, Rob, and especially when Cappy's in the studio. I'm used to you doing it 50 to 60 times per second.
But you still haven't described your actual position.
Oh, yeah.
I am on my side with my face facing the wall.
Understood.
The medical table is against the wall, and I am on my right side with my left cheek
exposed
up in the air. It is not exposed. I'm wearing boxers.
Sorry.
As he comes in, he tries to go through the leg hole first, realizing that that journey is going to be shortchanged, or he's going to stop all of the blood flow to my lower extremities.
Not enough
so
give in the fabric.
He goes from the top down, and that again, when he goes from the top down, he pulls the boxers down a little bit, and that's where I'm thinking, please don't do what you did yesterday.
Yeah.
Please don't do what you did. Not that it's not like I have uncontrolled flatulence. I can control it. I
just say,
it was an anomaly yesterday, the day before with the other doctor.
It wasn't even on the chart.
So I'm facing the wall, and at this point, Carla, I'm dealing with Carla hearing sound. I heard it when she laughed at me, and then I hear this sound. This is obviously you hear the paper, like he's getting out some sort of needle, syringe. And I hear Carla go, oh. That's what I hear.
Oh,
that's
no.
when I'm facing the wall. And I hear Carla go, oh. And I know what that, she is seeing. You know, she's not been in a lot of doctor's offices. She's seeing the needle.
Yeah.
Cartoon
but
size.
I see nothing. I see nothing. He said, all right, this is going to be a little uncomfortable.
Oh.
I've heard that before, too. And what a cortisone shot is, Rob, is Let's say your average needle is about that big.
Sure.
Your cortisone shot needle is going to be that big because they are taking the needle and they are delivering the medicine to the inflamed muscle or joint.
Gotta,
and they are going
the
right
muscle,
in, right into the muscle.
So you're saying that the needle itself is about 4 inches in length. And I'm guessing when a needle gets that long, it actually has to be thicker as well. So it has the strength because they need to go far enough into the source of the pain.
Right. And so he puts the needle in and suddenly...
That does not sound pleasant.
And then I feel something that is, it's similar to what you would feel if someone was stroking a string on a guitar. I feel this kind of, and I'm like, oh, God. And I don't know what's in there. You know, I don't know where the top part of my leg and the hip and all that crap is, but he's found the holy land of pain, and it goes in there. And then as quick as it happened, it was over.
Oh, good.
It was not even close to being as painful as I thought it would be, but it hurt. Oh. And then I guess I'm doing all this because Carla watched it, and he takes and he kind of rubs the area.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Then he began to rub me. And oh, what a feeling that was. No, he was rubbing the
area.
He's
got to massage it, right?
He massages it to get all that medicine where it's supposed to be.
Get that tussin in there, boy.
Get that tussin, boy. Get that tussin right down to the bone.
But, you know, if he did it quickly, that has to be the sign of a good guy. Because remember when we talked about epidurals and the people that have a hard time finding the spot? That's where the pain is. So the fact that he did it quickly, obviously you did have a good guy, right?
He was good, you know, and he's a very talented guy. And afterwards, you know, Carla, he leaves, and we're getting ready to go ahead and check out. And Carla says, I cannot believe the size of that needle they put in you.
Mm.
And it was a fun experience. But right away, immediately, there's a little bit of relief, and I feel the fact that the pain's starting to go away. And, you know, anybody that's ever played any kind of sport, that's the magic needle. That's what they talk about.
Yeah, I saw it in Varsity Blues. That's where I learned about those type of needles.
You love James Vanderbeek.
Yeah.
And afterwards, he is filling out his paperwork, and he's got his, like, little blue tweed sport coat thing that he's wearing. And he goes, all right, you all set. You know, and I'll call you, young lady, with your MRI results, and you should be good to go. So he's got the pen in his right hand, and I extend my hand to shake it, and he transfers the pen from his right hand to his left.
Yes.
And I got, the only way I can describe it, I got an Al Chervik greeting from him.
What does that mean?
Because that means when he shook my hand, it was like, yeah.
Oh, wow.
He was walking by me just kind of like, all right.
Gave you the brush
sure.
off.
Yeah, sure. Not that I want him to hug me or give me a wet kiss or anything like that.
No, you
want to
play golf with him.
Away.
No, but it's the old stand-up comedy thing, Mike, in his mind. He's saying, I got your money. I got it. We're done.
You know, it worked. I don't think I'm going to have to go back. That's all I care about. I'm very happy about that. The thing is that I've told people for years, if I go to a cocktail party, I want to talk to the surgeon, mm-hmm. I want to talk to the police officer, or I want to talk to the airline pilot. Those are the three professions that I get all stalker-like with.
What if all three aren't there?
If all three aren't there, I like to leave the party early. You know, if you get somebody, you know, hey, how you doing? What do you do for a living? I work at a title company. Okay.
Oh.
I'll see you later. Thank you.
Oh, you don't want to learn about
titles? I'm kidding, of course. I don't want to insult all people that might work in title companies, but, you know, I just closed on a house, okay? I sold my house up in Virginia. I went and I dealt with those guys. Guys were all like,
what about a pro athlete?
Yeah, a pro athlete.
What if there's a pro athlete at the party?
Pro athletes get so inundated, and because we kind of, on a really super, just above circus clown level, know what pro athletes go through.
Right.
I don't like to be at a party with pro athletes because the pro athletes are inundated. Oscar, you know this. You hang around. You stalk them more than anybody on the show.
They find me, too.
They
I'm great
find
to hang
you
out
my
with.
Irish ass.
They love 10. Him because he's from a medical family.
And I don't talk to him about sports because I barely know about their sport. That's
what
Dominic actually told me one day. He said, you know what? You never ask me about football. I said, well, I don't really know what to ask you.
Right. You know what? That's one of the reasons why I think Matt Elliott never left me alone is that I never talked football with him.
No, he never left you alone because he wanted to get you into his room.
Well, I did have a fine round ass.
He wanted to get you. You had a baby face and a countenance that he loved.
Mm.
He wanted to take you. He wanted to give you a bubble bath. That's what he wanted to
do. I never let him. Even though he said
please.
Keep
in touch with him? Have you heard from him in all these years?
Yeah, I'm Facebook friends with him. You know, his son went through what my son went through.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
And
pediatric
cured.
Leukemia?
Yeah, but he's all right. He's cured as well.
Oh, my God. I had no idea so that we, Matt, yeah, Matt's
we,
kid went through
we
that.
Actually, we've kept in touch a little bit, but not entirely. He's in the Indiana area now, I think, in the Midwest.
You know, it's amazing because I'm known for keeping my relationships for years and years and years.
Mike is a notorious letter writer.
Hello, my name is Julia Spiewak, and my father is named Rob. Every week, he gets together with his friend Katie, and they do a podcast called Cake and Cookies. Please listen to it. I need it to succeed, because as long as he does his stupid show that's about 90 minutes a week, he doesn't ask me to clean my room. He's a jerk. But I like Katie. You will, too. Check it out every Wednesday at MikeOMaraShow.com. Cake and Cookies. Pleased to be a part of the More Network.
The Best of O'Mara.
Welcome back to the show. Yeah, you know, I think about people that get hit by the lucky stick. And Steve Harvey is an amazing broadcaster. But
yes.
I also believe that Steve Harvey is probably one of the best examples of being in the right place at the right time.
Talented man.
He actually took advantage of it. I think the fact that, you know, whoever's managing him or whether he manages himself, and he said, yeah, I'm going to take on the Family Feud, absolutely the perfect vehicle for him. Probably the best host ever.
I think he's with Joe Coyne.
My old agent. That's fantastic. But I also think, you know, who does Steve Harvey grow up against? You know, who are they throwing at Steve Harvey's talk show? Old Harry Connick.
And that thing. Just the promos, man. It's like.
It is so uncomfortable.
It looks
so
like
completely
a
uncomfortable.
The promos where you should really, really look enthusiastic and at least have a smile. Harry Connick Jr., who I've got nothing against. He's made a couple great albums. But
oh, I absolutely love his music. I think he's a great New Orleans advocate. You
he
know?
Looks like he's in a hostage video.
He truly does. It looks like hair dye gone wild.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. Somebody look up how 49. Old Harry. Is he 49?
Yes. Okay. Oh, my God. He's roughly my age.
You're going to probably pop a couple of gray hairs out of your head
yeah.
at 49.
Yeah, but he probably had
way.
Some good living. You know what I mean? Not some
yeah.
hard living, good
yeah,
living.
Maybe.
Married to Victoria's Secret Angel. I'm sure they're A-OK.
I'm trying to think where I saw Harry.
Where does his stress come from? Oh, I wonder what I'm going to do today. Work on American Idol or possibly go do a talk show of my own. Maybe I'll make another album, right?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
It's but I think on American Idol he did okay, right? He wasn't great, but
no,
he
was
okay.
Was he a regular or was
no,
he a
he
mentor?
Was just, I think he was just a mentor.
Yeah.
Like at that point, I guess my point is for Harry Connick Jr. and I do love his music as well and
yeah.
I have seen the talk show on occasion. Here in the studio when we're working and I just throw on the
yeah.
TV. I sat there I said, "This isn't the best talk show." But I've seen much worse.
Well, let me just say this. This is the, and we don't do television, but I will tell you that this is the way I would analyze your average talk show host. You can be happy, peppy, joy, joy like Jimmy Fallon.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Fallon gets away with that because Jimmy Fallon has a writing staff that's coming up with great bits.
Yeah.
All the time. That's what fuels Jimmy Fallon. Then you get the other guys in the business. You get guys like Seth Meyers, great writing staff. Seth Meyers, tiny little edge. You
yeah.
get you know, you get Jimmy Kimmel, good writing staff, little bit of an edge. Ellen, comedian, has a little bit of an edge. Harry seems to want to get by. I mean, he's a nice guy. He seems to like
but
doing
he,
stuff, but he doesn't have.
He looks
he's
like
not
he
a comedian.
No, he looks like he can't believe he's there somehow.
But it just doesn't. You know, you can't just being nice and being happy
and I'm, handsome.
I'm happy to be here. Yes, he can sing. It just doesn't work, and it hasn't worked for people that don't realize that you've got to bring the edge
you know
and the
done.
Funniness a little bit. You know,
they've brought back the Mike Douglas show, and no one wants the Mike Douglas show. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, and Mike Douglas probably worked, you know, but Merv came out and did a monologue. I'm trying to think back.
Yeah, but
in the
Merv
day
didn't sing.
Did it.
Merv it's didn't just, sing.
Do no, you
Merv
watch didn't. The Chew? at all.
I watched The Chew, and you know,
oh, I thought you said something else.
My friend that
worked American Cooking Show.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, here's the thing about Harry. He brought on Mario Batali the other day, and I actually watched the segment, and they did a cooking segment, and that's fine because they're showing people how to cook food. But at the same time, you got Mario Batali, who's not a media superstar. He's a chef.
Yeah,
he's a cook. That's what he is. He's a restaurant owner. That's his deal. And he's on there with Harry, who plays piano, but he's trying to be. And I'm watching a 10-minute segment of absolutely nothing.
I know where, how you could know, have
they're
saved
talking
that.
About boning a turkey. They could and have, I'm not talking about the good boning either. That might be interesting. You know?
They could have saved that segment if Mario Batali looked over at Harry, and then they made it look like Harry was a giant pork chop. And then Mario Batali ate him.
You turn it into like a Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, exactly. You see, that's the angle they need to save
Harry
it.
Harry Connick turns into a turkey with the steam rising from it. And Mario Batali, then they show a close-up of a...
Licking his lips.
See, if you had the production, people, and you could do...
That would be the fun part.
Rob is giving me a scenario right now, which I am playing in my brain, where it's just like, so how long is The Chew been on the air? And Mario Batali, close-up of Mario Batali smacking his lips.
Looking wistful.
It's just Harry's head and the Kramer and the Kramer like
the
turkey
Kramer
body.
Turkey creamery butter.
They did it like that, too. No, this was just... I mean, he's a nice guy. Seems like a very nice guy, but it just doesn't.
It's very vanilla.
It's so
very,
vanilla.
Very, very.
And Ellen is vanilla, but Ellen happens to be a very funny person, and Ellen's done doing it.
But there's enthusiasm.
Right? She's quitting her show. Is that what's happening, right? Ellen's
she said that
on?
She's walking away. I don't know if that's a confirmed situation now.
That might
now.
Be a hoax story because I've read that about other people that say. Yeah. They're
but that was
their,
in the news the other day.
Skincare products. I don't buy it.
That and Robert Griffin III's ghost account of his ex-wife. Apparently, someone made a fake account of his ex-wife alleging all these extramarital affairs.
Oh, no.
Which, by the way, did happen. and then
they allegedly.
They came out on the media as, how do people make fake accounts on Twitter? It's very easy. Just put them up on the web.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. In this day and age, are we ever going... Is the pendulum... ever going to swing back, or are we now permanently in the land of
political correctness?
You can get an amazing buzz without having any facts at all. You can make up something completely, and if you do it correctly, you're gonna that's gonna stick, and it's not gonna go away.
The same reason that fake information is becoming so easy to cause a buzz is the same reason we're we have the ability to do this show.
Woo!
Because 10 years ago, you would need to own a radio tower to do a show. Now you need to own a $100 modem and you have access to the entire world.
When you were talking about the the hoaxes and what the burglaries might be or something like that, there was a video I saw where they said, here's what you do. You verify. You go through and you verify. If you want to, you double check when you hear something. And we all tend to... it was the way people react to a piece of news.
Mm-hmm.
And we are so...
We want to believe what we want to believe.
And we want to be first too.
Yes.
We want to acknowledge and we want to react first. And so often it's not true at all. And then it just and then it goes away. Here's what I would equate it to. A story breaks that say some famous person has done something horrible, committed a horrible crime. There's absolutely no truth to it whatsoever. You get a thread of 150 people that get on there and they say, I knew that person was scum. That's whatever. The 24 hours later, they say it's never been validated. It's never been proven true. It's not true. This person was out of the country when this alleged incident occurred. And then it just goes away.
Well, damage has been done.
Damage has been done, but there are no repercussions for the people that started.
Of course not.
Because unfortunately, and it's look, I'm guilty of this as well. If I see a headline, it doesn't matter if it's about entertainment or world affairs, and I think it to be true, I have an unconscious bias.
Okay.
I will drill down, and we all have them if we're being honest. We have an unconscious bias.
Yeah, there's
right?
somebody you yes. don't like to start with, and yes. you see something negative.
Yeah.
You don't give a rat's ass whether it's true or not. You want to read the bad
stuff.
So
for example, if your wife calls you on the phone while she knows you're doing a radio show. You hate that.
Is it
Carrie.
A problem? Call her back. Why don't
no.
you call her back?
Why don't you answer? You sure answer the phone. Just back? Ask her. You got to call her back. Call her back and say, hey.
Call her back and find out what's
happening. Hey, babe, why don't you care?
Last time we did this was something bad.
Yeah.
I don't like this. This always makes me nervous. This is
you know we're doing a show, right? Hello?
Let's see what I'm calling.
Yes, Friday we do a show. Every day.
Friday. He works on Fridays. You don't probably, but he works on Fridays.
No, we're still on the air. Anyway, is it anything bad?
Bye.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Don't be me. Don't be a monster.
So that was so rude.
That was so. You call her back and apologize and ask her what she needs, please. Please. Now you got to do that.
No.
Because, no, come on.
No.
You can't be mean to your wife like that.
Can we call her on the show? Can we call her on the show, please?
Yeah, I might have a number.
All right.
This is going to be great.
You got to write down the number. I do not have. Oh,
I'm trying to find out.
Just do the speakerphone.
I don't know. No. Well,
just put her on the speakerphone. Just put her on the speakerphone.
All right. Hold on.
Yes.
I don't know if she's on at home or on her cell. That's what I need to know.
Just recent call.
I'm going to it. Give me a sec.
Don't be nervous.
I know how happy he is right now.
He's so upset.
He's the happiest boy in the world. I really wish we could get the number and call it on a radio. We have the goddamn phone line.
We have the phone line. We have the number.
Yeah. Can we call her?
Yes.
I won't be able to talk to her.
All right. We will call her on the phone.
Yes.
Hold on.
This is only taking 9 hours, Rob, to get a goddamn phone number to Oscar that you just took from your wife.
Mobile number.
Okay, mobile number.
Jesus. I just want to say hello.
How about this?
Mrs. Spiewak, what?
Calm down, okay?
Well, no, what's taking so long?
Because I've been fed. First of all, I'm pissed, and this is not going well, and you guys are trying to ruin my day.
This is when you got to play Wonderful Time of the Year. This is the one that I don't understand. Don't worry about that. We're going to call your wife.
Yes, we are. It's going to be great.
It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be absolutely
calling. Okay.
Calling.
It's ringing.
It's going to ringy.
Mrs. Spiewak.
All right, you take lead. She will not answer.
She might not. You can leave her a message.
All right, just hang up. We waste too much time on
it. No, Mike.
No, don't try again.
We're like a dog with a bone. She'll answer.
Your call is...
Oh!
Okay. All right. You know whose fault this is? This is Rob Spiewak's fault.
Absolutely.
I shouldn't
have married her.
Mike,
I wish you wouldn't fumble with your phone so much, Rob.
What does she need, though? Not answering because it says more broadcasting and she doesn't want to come
on
there?
I don't know what the problem is, but I know the whole thing has gotten very frustrating for me. It really has. It's very, very sad. This whole thing sucks and it's Rob's fault.
Not my fault.
It is your fault.
Not my fault.
Oh, F you.
F you.
It's the most wonderful time.
Can you try calling her now?
See, I was fake fighting with Rob.
I see that.
I wanted to play that.
Now just do it on your phone and see if she'll answer you.
All right. Calling.
And then you tell her when more broadcasting calls, she answers.
I bet it was a fake account. It's a fake carry.
Fake carry like nice the fake ball. Dog.
Some nice sort of ball. Mock carry.
Nice like George Stockup's fake dog. The dog is fake.
She going to answer now?
Doubtful.
Your call has been
forwarded. No, it would be too helpful for her to
push
pick up.
Push him to voicemail right away. He said, no, I don't want to talk to you.
Well, you screwed that up, Rob.
Yeah, well, I don't think I screwed it. I think she screwed it up.
Well, everybody screwed it up.
Everybody.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Well, that's that. We have to go to break now. Anyway.
Just quickly, how painful is this going to be for the rest of the day for you?
Oh, rest of the weekend. At least there's supper club tomorrow. I'll talk to the other wives. They like me.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.